to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's time for articles of news for the week of the 23rd of May. Yeah, there wasn't one last week because I couldn't get anyone to do it.
Are you serious?
Sad face.
Yeah. You didn't tell me.
Well,
I was free. I'm always free.
You weren't free last Monday, pal.
Yeah, I was.
No, I asked you.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. We can go back on Facebook. You're like, I didn't know.
Yeah, because then I found out at like 4.
Yeah, and then it never happened. It'll never happen again. We'll always do one from now on. Good. So maybe I'll do another one this week. Because it's a lot of news. We got a lot of news to cover, kids. Pants. We got pants.
I got pants.
And an angel.
So many clothes.
And, that's all my stories. Okay, bye.
And some other stuff and things. Religious freedom is good for business. I love that headline. We'll get to that in a minute. But that's coming up in the second half when we do actual articles of news. It's me, Richie T. We got Brother Kyle right there. And Mom Jenny.
To the left. I'm to the left.
Yeah. And then to the right. To the right.
Molly,
we got
Jenny,
Molly
to
Jenny.
The right.
You're to the front.
To the front.
To the front.
And you guys are on the back. On the back. So dip, baby, dip. What a terrible song.
Is that how the song goes?
Yeah. Right?
I don't even know.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. What is it? What's the chord? Is that the Tootsie Roll?
Yeah.
Yeah. Stupid. What a dumb.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, whatever.
I mean, I'm almost 40. I don't know.
I didn't go to Regent Dances. What?
I didn't go to a dance Saturday night. What?
No,
did you?
I wanted
to. Did you go to a dance Saturday night?
Yeah.
What was it? Church dance?
Are we talking about it?
Well,
sure. Yeah, you just don't bring up things you don't want to talk about. Did you go
so
to a
what's
dance?
New?
Yeah, what's new? You went to a dance.
Yeah, I went to a family dance.
I don't get it.
Okay, here's the deal. I'm a poor single mom.
Okay.
So back in like February or March, my bishop was like, hey, there's this thing that we'd love to send you and your kids to. I was like, eh?
Okay.
It's single parent family camp at Aspen Grove.
Single parent family camp.
Yes. So it's
LDS thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Aspen Grove is a property owned by BYU.
Okay.
Above Sundance.
It's like a cabin or something, right?
Well, there are cabins there. There are lodges there.
Girls camp happens there a bunch, doesn't it? At Aspen Grove?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Family reunions and events from like BYU. It's a BYU alumni thing.
Okay.
So I was like, yeah, thanks to the generosity of donors. It was $25.
Cool.
Right? So
per kid or per the whole family?
No, for the whole family.
Jeez.
So I took my whole wad.
You can't even go out to a movie for $25.
Is what I'm saying. So we got to go up to the mountains.
Was it an overnight thing?
Yeah. We checked in Friday, checked out Sunday.
Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like $12.50 a night.
Is what
I defy you to find a hostel that cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of hostels, how is your family?
Oh, see?
See what I mean?
Dang it.
I don't get it.
Because hostel has two meanings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Hostile.
Uh-huh. With
an
E on it, then.
Yeah.
No. See, it's
so
funny.
Was it fun?
You know what? My goal was to have a weekend that my kids will look back on fondly, because I'm not the Disneyland parent. I'm not the one who can take them on trips and things. And so I'm really grateful for this opportunity. And I was glad. That sounded so Mormon.
I know. Really, I was
dang.
And when the bishop asked me to talk about this experience, I looked in the Webster's dictionary.
But for reals, like I'm really glad. Like it made me, my pride has brought me low type of thing.
Yeah,
because I don't like BYU so much. But yeah.
Oh, that's what that post was about.
Yes.
You're both love and hatred of BYU.
Right, right. It was good. I wanted a weekend my kids will look back on fondly. That's what we got. So for them, awesome.
So what do you do at single parent? What is
family
it?
Camp?
Family camp.
So you go, you check in. I think they had like an hour or so of family pictures. My kids were like, no. And so we checked in. We stayed in this kind of rustic-ish cabin.
Cool.
Yeah.
With other families, or do you get a cabin?
No,
or
just ours.
Oh, cool.
Just ours.
So how many are we talking about? How many families are at single parent family camp?
I don't know how many families were there.
So many you couldn't count?
Well, not so many that I couldn't count. It's just I don't know who, you know, there were so many children there,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know.
Mainly women, mainly men. Good
oh, as
mix.
Far as the parents, yeah. Mainly women.
Okay.
There were, yeah.
Like the dads were
no
rolling in it.
Were
they
there.
Were like, yeah.
They don't care about dads.
No, there were probably like maybe 4 or 5 men there. And I tell you what, swarms.
Yeah, well, sure.
Swarms of women around. And I'm just like, I don't, what? Yeah, I don't.
When's the next one?
Yeah. You just take your one kid. Hey, boy.
No, there were.
We're going.
There were, you know, parents with one kid there. Yeah.
No, I'm sure. But
yeah.
Brother Kyle would just be like, hey, here's my kid. All right, go play.
He wouldn't go, so I just bring like a baby basket.
No, it's sleeping. No, don't.
Like a loaf of bread wrapped in a blanket.
The scandal at single parent family camp.
Right. So
I'm sort of disappointed if I can take this jaunt aside.
Okay.
Single parent family camp doesn't sound very Mormon.
Okay.
Like it needs to be like a single Sammy slippy weekend, or you know what I'm saying? Like how Mormons love their alliterations.
Sure.
Like single parent family camp doesn't sound very Mormon.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't clever enough.
Yeah. No. Not nearly clever enough.
Yeah.
Poor form, BYU.
Yeah. For me, no. It's been a while since I've felt so pathetic about myself.
You felt pathetic over the weekend?
Just some things that happened. I was just like, am I this person? I don't know. It's hard to kind of find this balance where, you know, speakers and people in charge of it like get up and they are genuinely like touched and crying and like, we pray for the single people of the church. And I'm like, okay. I don't think divorce is as much of a tragedy as people used to think it is or was or whatever. Yeah. I mean, it is a tragedy, but
there are different phases in it.
I wish I could edit what's coming out of my head right now.
Because we can go back a year ago where you weren't nearly as calm and collected about this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Crazy. No, you weren't crazy, but I think that there are different phases that people go through where it is faith questioning or life ending or seemingly life ending to be in this thing. And different people process quicker and depending on kids and situations of how they get out of divorce. Certainly, you know, some aren't as blessed to be able to have the experience that you've had.
Quite. Yes. I mean, I have always maintained that I have the best people and being a social person, you know, that really has saved me on a lot of levels, having really strong friendships and really great people around. So
be grateful, pal.
Yeah, I am. Thank you. But there were a couple of really kind of funny things that happened there over the weekend. Like,
did you get your number asked for?
Oh, no.
Well,
I mean, so my whole focus there is like, I want my kids to have a good time, you know? And they're all at such different levels with being okay with, you know, not only having gone through a divorce in the past year, but then their dad got remarried. And so like there's that whole thing. And I'm just trying to make sure that they are okay. And so, yeah, it was really good for them. They break up the kids into age groups to do all the activities, you know, and there's a ropes course and there's a pool and there's arts and crafts and there's all the things and
cool.
They give them free time. And so, yeah, Saturday night was a family dance from like 8 to 9:15. And then they like made everyone leave. And then so then there's a 14 to, you know, like a youth dance after that. And so the next morning, so two of my daughters went to that one. And the next morning they're telling me about, oh, well, those two people were making out. Oh, well, she caught those two people making out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all these hookups at Aspen Grove. Come on, guys.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, like it's EFY or youth conference or something. So.
Yeah. Anytime the Mormons can get together, there is dancing, kissing, and ice cream.
Oh,
was there ice cream?
Oh, yeah. Well, they did have like creamery ice cream for sale in the store.
See?
So like Saturday afternoon when we had free time, I took the kids and gave them.
See, I didn't even know that, Brother Kyle, and I knew that.
Ice cream.
Yeah.
So, but it was, it was fine. And then they've got a branch there that holds.
At Aspen Grove?
At Aspen Grove, yeah. And from my understanding from the gentleman who was conducting, you know, this was the first week of the summer, and it's what I like about it is that it's an hour and a half. It's 9:30 to 11 church, right?
Okay.
So it's sacrament, and it's a testimony meeting, you know, and I thought it was adorable. They're like, there is, before we do the sacrament, there's gluten-free bread for anyone who requires that.
For anybody that thinks that they have celiac disease, but don't.
But
there
don't
are some people that do, Brother Kyle.
And none of them were there.
Yeah,
because that's so trendy.
That's so in right now. Celiac is so in.
So,
you know, there will be the one person that genuinely like it. Just
celiac.
It just kills them, and they're gonna be like, "Thanks, Brother Kyle."
Well, that's the problem.
I know.
So, but then he's like, "Before we participate in the ordinance of the sacrament, we would just like to invite all of you to let your worries go, divorce yourself from the worries of your week, and think about the good time you had this weekend." And I'm like, oh, dude, know your audience. Don't say that.
No, I think that's great because they know exactly what it is.
Oh, they're speaking their language.
Yeah, they're speaking their language.
Sure.
Divorce it. Yeah, get rid of it. Perfect.
Was he trying to be funny?
I don't know. No,
because he was trying to be funny, then it was funny. But if not, if he was just trying to play it in, then
he wasn't trying to. I think it was like one of those things where you're trying not to say a word so hard that you end up saying it.
Yeah. Don't say divorce. Don't say divorce. Yeah. Divorce yourself.
Shoot.
Divorce yourself. Don't.
Yeah.
I've told you, just real quick, I've told you about when I was in college about the Institute choir singing to the homeless people story, haven't I?
No.
No? Okay, so I'll tell you this real quick. So I was part of this group that there are homeless people that live in Cedar City, Utah, and there's also the Institute choir that sings in Cedar City, Utah. Well, the Institute choir was invited to sing to these group of homeless people.
Like at a shelter?
No, it was a thing that we did at the campus where we did, like, you know, I played an elf and Santa was there and they got their picture with Santa and they got some presents and they got some food and stuff like that. And as part of the entertainment, the Institute choir was able to come and to sing, you know, they sang like Jingle Bells and they sang some other stuff. And then when they got to their religious portion of the evening, the conductor of the Institute choir said, you know what, everyone, we want to sing a song for you. There are those that are less fortunate who don't have homes to go to.
Nope.
And we'd like to sing to them right now. And then, you
Did
know,
he catch himself at any
nope.
point in that?
And then it's quiet. And then it's homeless.
No.
Homeless.
No.
Like the Christ child was. Yep. Absolutely.
Terrible.
Absolutely.
Terrible.
Embarrassing from beginning to end.
That
know your audience.
Terrible.
So a good time. Any people met, both for your kids or for yourself?
Just so there were some kids from my kid's school. They're like, hey, I know him. He's in my class. And so they did. That, you know, they but
some empathizing, some good friends as far as that goes, or just
sure,
like
because no.
your kids are friendly enough.
Yeah, they, I mean, and they were glad to see familiar faces, and also like my 12-year-old said, oh yeah, she, you know, they have it at the school. They've got this, you know, group that meets every other week at lunchtime.
Like a support group for
yeah,
the divorce kids, kid?
Yeah, the divorce kid.
Shut
club.
Up, that's cool.
Yeah, and so, but she's like, she was in the divorce lunch club, but didn't like it, so I haven't seen her in a while. So, but yeah, I mean, they had a good time and I was, yeah.
Did your kids get a make out?
I'm sorry. I don't think so. I mean, one of them has a boyfriend and the other one is far too shy for that sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, she probably wouldn't tell you even if she did, right?
They would actually.
They would?
Yeah.
Mom, I made out would be a conversation.
Not like that, but it would.
Mom, I kissed a boy?
Yeah, it would be something.
Really?
Like, yeah. It would be something like that.
Wow.
All right.
Or, I mean, there are two of them now that go to the dances together, so they would.
They'd snitch each other out.
Not snitch, but just be like.
No, that's snitching. You know, that's what that's called.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess it is. It's just,
Mom, she totally. Man.
So, but yeah, I mean, it was good time for them. And I don't know. I was too preoccupied, I guess, with making sure they had a good time to.
Well, good. I'm glad they did. What else? Anything else?
Yes, I'm in a play.
Okay.
It's next week.
What's it called?
It's called A Month in the Country.
That sounds like a really long play.
It isn't.
It isn't? No, it's a short play?
It's about 3 days. It's actually, we're running for 3 days. It's down at UVU.
The almost BYU.
No, I don't. I think Rick's is the almost BYU.
Okay.
Right? So, yeah, it's at UVU in Orem at the Norda Theater. And it's May 31st, June 1st, and June 2nd, which is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 7:30 p.m. each evening, free. No ticket distribution. You just
go check it out.
Yeah.
What do you play?
My character's name is Lizaveta.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a Russian play. It's just one of these things where it's funny, it's heartbreaking.
What's her deal? give me, like, character synopses,
okay.
One sentence.
In the native tongue. Or
no
accent.
Can do. No, I don't even do that.
You don't
that.
Do an accent?
No,
oh.
I don't. Not Russian, no.
Oh.
I am about mid to late 30s unmarried woman.
Oh, good.
I don't know
Typecast.
How No, I don't know how I'm going to get into that role.
Typecast.
So, so it's one of these shows where everyone's in love with the wrong person. You know, but no, but it's really great.
Good.
And we only, it was cast like late April. We've only had rehearsals 2 or 3 times per week, and we go up a week from tomorrow, so it's gonna be great.
Cool.
It's a super great group of people. Really glad to be in it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure I get a thing and I'll put that with this episode so people can click and link and find.
Will do. Thank
you. Okay. All right, Brother Kyle, it's you, pal.
Well, I am not in a play.
Mm-hmm. Your mom in a play?
My mom is
of
in a play.
Of course she is.
What play is your mom in right now?
Right now she's just practicing for the one in
Nauvoo.
Nauvoo.
Oh, that's right. Nauvoo. Mm-hmm. Star Wars and the LDS Church. The connections. Anyway.
So many.
And I did not go to a retreat with my son.
Okay.
For the weekend, for single people.
Okay. Did you run? Did you bike?
Well, yeah, I always do all that every day.
Okay.
I did. I went to a movie by myself.
Nice. What'd you see?
And I tell you what, single people out there, if there are any out there listening, don't be afraid to do stuff by yourself. Go to a movie, go out to dinner. It's fantastic.
Yeah. No,
it's
great. I go to movies by myself all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good, huh? Because there's nobody there to bug you.
Yeah.
And it's great.
And you can go in the middle of the day, so you can totally sit on the back row and have your phone out. And if the movie sucks, if the movie sucks, you just play on your phone, hang out. Hey, what's going on? And typically the movies that I'll see in the middle of the day, they're not any good. So I'll make phone calls during the movie. It's like my own personal large theater. Really? No? Okay.
I don't know if I've gone
What
that
movie
far.
Did you see?
It was at the Broadway downtown here, and it was Sing Something.
Oh, okay.
Sing Street.
Yes.
I've tried to see that twice in the past week, and it hasn't happened yet. But I've heard it's excellent.
Really cute, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah? What's it about?
Yeah.
One sentence.
Teenage love.
Okay. Is it endearing? Did it make you cry?
It is, yeah.
Did it make you cry?
Not quite.
Water up a little bit?
Maybe.
Okay.
Made you sing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
He literally busted out of the theater to the street.
The only problem is, one thing I didn't like is that the every British movie or European movie that's about singing has a town called Malice as the soundtrack, the main song to it. You know, it was in the other ones that are about kids that sing and dance.
Sure.
In, you know, poor Great Britain or wherever it is.
Where there are little pickpockets. More.
Yes.
No one's ever asked for more before.
That's exactly what
happened. Oh, I'm British.
Good.
It's terrible.
Where's your Russian accent?
I left it in my other pants.
Teach it to Molly, Jenny.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My Russian.
It's awful.
Terrible.
Almost French.
What
else?
Say?
What else is new, pal?
I have my work all the time.
Yeah.
And so that's...
What are you selling? I was looking on Facebook. You're trying to sell me something.
Oh, we got a new watch from Garmin.
Ah.
Garmin has a new... Really cool.
New cycling watch?
Yeah, it's only
How much
blue
is that
right
thing?
Now. I don't remember.
It's like $500, isn't
it? It's like $379.
Yeah.
What's new about it?
Well, the thing... Does it
tell the time?
That's not the point.
No, why? So what I want to know is the heart monitor included?
It's not the bundle. You still have to buy the strap. I know.
It's ridiculous.
I know.
I hate
it's
it.
Ridiculous.
I know.
Come
it.
On. I mean, my heartbeat's right there.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's the same stuff as every other watch they've come out with. It's just a different color.
Okay.
Good enough.
A huge proponent of it.
Pink?
I'm glad I checked that out. What else? Anything else?
Nope. Things are good and just planning our summer trip with my kid. As
Where are you
soon
going?
As school's out, we're going down to San Diego to go surfing.
Oh, yeah?
I know. Broken record, huh?
Yeah, seriously. But if you guys love it, who cares?
We love it.
You know, speaking of San Diego, yesterday in my ward, there was a girl who is leaving on a mission. Going to San Diego for her mission. And she gets up, and it was great. Here's the thing. She's beautiful, blonde, 19-year-old girl, right? She's like, it is perfect for San Diego. And I was like, all right, this will be interesting. Because I can only count on my hand about how many sister missionary farewells I've seen. I don't know why, but just because, I guess.
Like ever or later?
Yeah, no, like ever.
Okay.
Like a lot of senior couples and a lot of dudes, because I went to all my friends, either farewells or homecomings, but I was before the change, so there was everything with that. Well, so she gets up and I was like, is she going to be enjoyable to listen to, or am I going to hate this? That was my initial thought, right? Not because she's a sister, but just because I'm jaded, perhaps, a little bit. She gets up and she goes, I would like to start out... I'd like to start out my talk in the tongue of the mission of which I will speak. Right?
Oh my gosh.
And she's like,
awesome.
Dude, girl, this surf's up, brah. This gonna be, you know, it was very funny to me. Very predictable, but enjoyable that she did it. And then probably one of the most spiritual, like, she just is inspired to go on a mission, ready to serve, you know, talks that I've heard in a good long time. You can tell that she has no idea what a mission is about. Like,
does anyone?
There's a, no,
they
no, no one does. No one has any clue before they go. But and so I always find that kind of endearing. But it's where it's like, I can't wait to go and be received. And it's like, yeah, okay,
yeah, good.
Let me. I mean, you will, but all right. You know, keep those stars where they're at.
Yeah.
But it was great. I really, really enjoyed it. So that's one thing. And then the other thing that is sort of new. So I, with my day job, I got to interview Chris Carrabba, who is the lead singer of the band Dashboard Confessional. And I may include a little bit of the audio, maybe if we do another Articles of News this week, or maybe I'll just share it via the page. But I got him to talk about how the reason why Salt Lake or the state of Utah is such a great music town is because of the Mormons. And he's like, yeah, people should join the Mormons. So I got that.
That's a good drop right there.
And then also, I got him to commit to eating some funeral potatoes with me. So I want people to know in my day job, and I want to exhort people to do the same, opportunities to share not only the church, but also the culture of the church. So pretty fun thing. Other than that, just working a ton, doing stuff with the theater. Mm-hmm. Show closes in 2 weeks. If Rob were here, and maybe if we do another episode this week, we'll talk about it, but we had the Best of State banquet for Rob's DJ business, which I work for. Yeah, that looked like prom, because I wore a tuxedo, which was my costume from the Desert Star Theater, which was all right. I didn't have to rent anything.
You looked great.
No, I didn't. I looked like I was wearing a costume from the Desert Star Theater. Not that it's not a great costume,
no.
But it's a tuxedo with tails that doesn't quite fit right. So there's every bit of that.
Perfect.
But it was great. It was fun. And now the big thing among all the people that work for Rob is you'll hear him just go, Best of State. Hey, Best of State. What's up, Best of State? There's about 8 of us that work for him. It's like a legit thing.
It's a big organization. I didn't realize how many of you were involved.
Right.
I thought it was you and Rob.
It's hilarious because, like, I remember Idiot Rob from college, right?
Now you all grown up?
Yeah, like, I'm the Jungle Cruise director, Rob. You know what I'm saying? And then he found this, and he's killing it, and it's awesome. But it's just so funny to watch as he goes to these different conferences and gets certified in different things to just be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So my friend Rob owns a legitimate business of which I'm part of, and
I still don't get the certified in things. What's he certifying, and is he putting that on as he's passing out to people? Oh, I'm certified to
So there's all
Mambo.
Sorts of certifications that
trainings and things.
Yeah.
That for people
like wedding,
who are looking
like
for
wedding
it.
Planning, wedding emceeing. I mean, there are organizations that are set up for profit, just like a college would be. That's like, hey, here's a piece of paper that says you do it, but he's training from some pretty amazing people. Hey, this is how to build a business. Hey, this is how to market this thing. This is how to do the actual emceeing or DJing. It's not so much like, and here's a beat, and then play this beat. So.
Very.
So there you go.
Yeah, all right.
It's cool. Give him some credit.
I give him some credit, actually, to Rob.
It's actually pretty cool. And he doesn't live with his parents, Kyle, so there's that. Let's take a break for just
a
second.
Well, guess what? July, I will be living by myself.
Yeah?
For 6 weeks. Yeah. So there.
Because they're going away. Let's take a break, and we'll come back in just a second with the second half of Articles of News.
Hi, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City.
Consumer alert! Consumer alert!
Are you suffering from excruciating headaches? Are you having a hard time sleeping no matter what you do? That old small computer screen from years ago could be your problem, exposing you to a huge amount of radiation and eye strain, leading to headaches and loss of sleep. Screens are something a lot of people overlook because they really don't break a lot, so they keep them for years. At PC Laptops, we only carry screens that we've tested on our own eyeballs. Right now, purchase any PC Laptops desktop and get a free monitor size upgrade. That's right. Buy a 24-inch, get an upgrade to 27 inches for free. We have brand new PC Laptops desktop computers from only $799, and they're covered forever with a lifetime warranty. That's right, $799 covered forever. So run into any PC Laptops location right now or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. At PC Laptops, we love you.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
It's time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual articles of news, but I wanted to share this with you first. If you go to Snarly, that's with two R's on Snarly, illustration.blogspot.com, a recent review of the Cultural Hall. Full on, if you guys saw that we did a new graphic on our Facebook page, that's where this comes from, is this guy who is an illustrator who did a review, and I'll share that with you right now. Says, quote, you like that? I'm really working on my apostolic quote introductions.
Only if you close quote.
Close quote. Okay. I tried a new podcast this morning on my weekly drive to the Tabernacle Choir broadcast, and I'm really glad that I did. The Cultural Hall is a podcast hosted by Richie T and is put together by active LDS members of the church. It touches on interesting topics and LDS personalities. I've listened to one complete episode, so I'll focus on that singular episode in this review and just say that I'm interested in listening to more. I've searched for a good LDS-centered podcast that aligns well with uplifting content like that on the Mormon Channel, for example, but I was unsuccessful until today. I'm not sure why it took me so long to find it. I think timing had something to do with it. I listened to the episode featuring Brandy Vega. She's the latest episode of the Cultural Hall that was published last Friday. She's the founder of the Good Deed Revolution. And to me, before today, she has been the blonde gal that would film us in the Tabernacle Choir. The only female in the bunch of camera operators, from what I could tell. Her story of the steps in her life that led to her current pursuits was really interesting to me. Her strength and testimony she shared within her life's details came about through lots of different trials, jobs, and relationships. One of the things that has stuck with me since listening to the episode was the experience she shared of a devotional address of Elder Bednar of the church's Quorum of 12 Apostles. He took a small group of those who helped out put on the event to ice cream and after his address on using the internet and social media to flood the earth with goodness. He asked them how they were using their talents in doing the Lord's work, and Brandy shared about how a pivotal moment that was for her and how it helped her decide that she could take her passion for broadcasting and make the world a better place because of it. The Good Deed Revolution was born. It's a nonprofit, now a 501c3, by the way, just so everyone listening knows. Nonprofit organization that captures good deeds happening all around the world. Its aim is to inspire others to do good things for other people. I mentioned that my listening to this podcast was all about timing, and here is why. Since I wasn't singing in today's broadcast, I took my seat in the balcony near all of the other brethren that weren't performing. This balcony area is right by one of the camera operator stations, and it just so happened that Brandy was operating this camera this same morning that I'd been introduced to her via the Cultural Hall's podcast. That is a show in a podcast form, but whatever. I'm not the kind of person that approaches others that I don't know very often, but there was something inside me that kept telling me over and over again that I needed to introduce myself to Brandy and to find out about her work. I kept pushing that feeling away as I saw she was either busy with camera work, keeping her daughter company, or visiting with others at the choir broadcast. I'm glad the moment I recognized the opportunity to chat with her, I was able to push all of my reservations and doubts aside. Our conversation was brief, but it was nice to hear directly from her how important the Good Deed Revolution organization was for her and the many people that she's been helping. I finished listening to the balance of the podcast on my way home this morning and was very touched by some of the special experiences that she shared of following the Spirit. She claimed that following promptings of the Spirit was the most exciting thing about her faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love the question that what's the most exciting part of your faith that was asked by the host. Close, what's the most important part of your faith, but that's fine. But her answer to me was spectacular. I instantly wanted to not only be able to answer the same question with her confidence, but to have similar confidence in the guidance that I personally received from the Holy Ghost and to share it with others like she was in that moment. If I remember right, the host asked her three questions to close out the podcast. That is a show in podcast form. We'll see if he does the same questions with all his guests. And those questions are, what is your current church calling? What is your dream church calling, either real or imaginary? And what is the most, he writes exciting, but it is, what is the most important part of your faith?
What was your favorite part of your faith?
Or favorite part. You're right.
Yeah.
Not important. Favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know the questions that I ask. But you know what I do? I don't think about it when it comes to that part of the interview.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to answer these myself, he goes on. He says, my current church colleague, he's a member of the Tabernacle Choir. If he could pick a calling for himself, he'd be a sketch artist for General Conference, which is pretty rad.
Yeah.
And then number three, he says the most...
We'd live tweet that.
What's that?
We'd live tweet that.
His illustration?
Sure.
You bet we would.
Yep.
Make it so.
Yep.
I think it's Rob Snar. I think that's his name, or you know, Ryan Snar.
Like the courtroom drawing where you draw him really fast?
I think.
You know what, dude? Send him tag at the Cultural Hall during conference. We'll go ahead and retweet that.
Done.
Sold.
I just spoke for him. He said, the most exciting part of my faith is that living by the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I can grow closer to those that I love. This is primarily important to my relationship with my wife, secondarily with my children, but it has further reaching applications as well. It also means that I can form stronger bonds of friendship and brotherly love with even those who are very different from me as we each strive to live by the teachings of Jesus Christ. I find this to be the case with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. There are so many of us in that choir loft, and there are just as many personalities as there are people. In the loft, we put all of our opinions aside about an infinite number of topics, and we focus on a single director. The more focus and more effort we can give, we become united in our sound and purpose. The purpose is to bring our audience closer to God through beautiful and inspiring music. It is a magnificent calling, and I've loved every minute of it. A few additional notes about the host of the podcast. I've never been exactly familiar with Richie T. Stedman, but I've at least heard of things that he's been a part of, from radio to film. As a new listener, I could tell instantly how high energy and personable he is. That's me. That's me we're talking about. But wow. I think it must have been the barrage of Mormon cliches at the end of the episode that made me feel like I'd met someone who found humor in the church in similar ways as me. I'm sure he'd be proud to know that I've created a company named Nourish and Strengthen. He's started that company. So go check out the podcast, he says. And he means show available in podcast form.
Uh-huh.
I hope you enjoy it, as I hope so for myself. Arsnar. And then there it is.
Brilliant.
And he's got some cool sketches. He has sketched me.
Rad.
Wow.
So maybe we can get him to courtroom sketch everybody.
Yeah, can he sketch me?
Right?
In a courtroom setting.
Yes.
Ooh,
and I just had an idea that I'm not gonna share with you. I'll find out how long it takes him to sketch some things, because I have a really great idea. Slightly irreverent. So there's that. All right, let's do some articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose articles of news.
Go ahead.
Speaking of the choir.
Yes.
Remember last year when this was announced? For the first time in 18 years, the world-renowned Mormon Tabernacle Choir and Orchestra at Temple Square will perform in Europe. The 20-day tour to 8 European cities is scheduled from Monday, June 27th through Saturday, July 16th, 2016. The international tour will kick off with performances in Berlin and Nuremberg, Germany.
I've been to Nuremberg.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
They're very good. Before heading to Vienna, Austria, and Zurich, Switzerland. Then the choir and orchestra will head back to Germany for a concert in Frankfurt, followed by concerts in Brussels, Belgium, and Rotterdam, Netherlands. President Monson is an advisor to the Tabernacle Choir.
You guys should go there, he said.
He advised them. Our goal is for the choir and its companion orchestra at Temple Square to be a shining example of the musical arts to all the world, said he. With the announcement of this European tour, I am delighted that these noted ensembles will have the opportunity to touch the hearts of people in multiple nations through their magnificent music. This tour will be an important step forward as the choir and orchestra continue to build bridges of friendship and understanding across the globe as ambassadors of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Choir President Ron Jarrett said, "One of my primary goals when I became the choir's president in 2012 was to start touring internationally again. Through social media, we have been able to reach audiences far and wide. Now, with this tour, we are thrilled that for the first time in nearly two decades, international audiences will be able to enjoy the music of the choir in person. With the challenges of today's world, we are excited to share the joy and peace the music of the choir brings, which knows no boundaries of age or nationality," added Brother Jarrett. So, yeah, the choir first traveled to Europe on a 7-week concert tour in 1955, and since then has been back four times. 73, 82, 91, and 98. The choir and orchestra, they usually tour every 2 years, so it became a complete surprise when, just after the choir returned on July 7th, 2015, from a successful 10-day tour to the Atlantic Coast, the choir's president announced the 2016 international tour to the performance during their Thursday evening rehearsal. And I remember we talked about that, like a video of when it was announced. But yeah, so they usually tour every two years, got back from a tour last year, and not only the surprise that they're going on a tour the next year, but that it's to Europe.
You mentioned the years of the Europe tours. Give me those again. When was it? 1955?
55, 73, 82, and 91. Oh, and 98.
Do you want to see something awesome?
I have the tour shirt from 98.
I don't want to see anything awesome.
You don't?
The 360-voice choir, accompanied frequently by the 200-member orchestra, can also be heard weekly as part of Music and the Spoken Word.
You don't want to see something awesome?
Okay.
This is really cool.
Okay, yes, I do.
I'll get this so that we share it on Instagram. Follow us at the Cultural Hall. I'll put it up on Facebook as well. Those two kids right there,
mm-hmm.
That is the Mormon Tabernacle Choir's European tour from 1955.
Dude, what?
That's my grandparents.
No. Are these the same ones that went to Vietnam?
Uh-huh.
No way.
Yeah.
So they're both in the choir, or one of them was?
And my grandpa was.
Rad.
Isn't that cool?
Dude, are fly.
Yeah.
Look at these kids.
I got to show Brother Kyle, too.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so you'll be able to check that out at the Cultural Hall's Instagram and also Facebook page. Check that out.
That's
right. Isn't that cool?
But yeah, 360 voices in the choir, 200 in the orchestra, plus, like, your grandparents, the spouses go, too. That's such a huge, like, logistical, I don't know, nightmare?
Yeah.
Right?
Como se dice, nightmare?
Uh-huh. So, but good for them.
Fun picture, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
I just found that the other day.
That's rad.
What do you got, Brother Kyle?
There have been erroneous reports that tie the Odious Church to Panama Papers, speaking of European,
Panama?
But not European.
Yeah.
Speaking
of non-European.
Salt Lake City, contrary to erroneous
I got a
blog
joke for
reports.
You, Brother Kyle.
Okay.
If you're an American when you go in the bathroom,
uh-huh.
And you're an American when you go out of the bathroom.
Stop it.
What are you while you're in the bathroom?
Spanish?
European.
Oh!
Because...
I don't understand.
It's a urinal joke for boys. It's
European. European.
Wait, what?
The waste from your body is leaving into the... Okay.
All right, I'm going to start over because it's important.
Okay. Panama Papers.
Erroneous reports tie the LDS Church to Panama Papers. Contrary to erroneous blog reports, the LDS Church does not own any of the companies listed in the Panama Papers.
Does everybody know what the Panama Papers are?
No.
Nope.
Do you know what the Panama Papers are?
They leak organizations that use offshore shell companies to evade taxes.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to give context to people because some people are like, hey, so what? They took them in a canal? Great.
They make great hats? No. Deseret Investment, Inc. and Bonneville International Limited are neither owned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints nor associated with it in any way. The LDS Church does not own for-profit companies with the words Deseret and Bonneville in their names. For example, it owns Deseret Management Corporation, which in turn owns Bonneville International Corporation. DMC also owns the Deseret News. Their church-owned Bonneville does business under a different name, including Bonneville Communications, but none of the names match the one listed in the Panama Papers. So it's a little confusing because they all are Bonneville something. Bonneville Inc. Corp. does not have exclusive rights to the name Bonneville and has no relationship or dealings with the entities of Bonneville International or Deseret Investment. See where it gets confusing?
Right.
Bonneville and Deseret. Bonneville International Limited is owned by Boss Trust Company, which is registered in Jersey, Great Britain. Deseret Investment, Inc. is also owned by a company with ties to the United Kingdom. The International Consortium of Investigative Journalists created a searchable online database listing more than 200,000 companies listed in the Panama Papers. The entrance to the website includes a long caution. Many people and entities have the same or similar names. We suggest you confirm the identities of any individuals or entities located in the database of this website or other
So they weren't trying to be sneaky. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, they're just saying a lot of companies might look like they have the same names as these.
And it's intentionally confusing.
Yes.
Don't think for a minute that those companies weren't trying to do that to get, you know, get a little hot water around the church, get a little hubbubberoo talking and hubbubberoo. Technical
it's not
term.
Us. Not me.
This was pretty interesting. Did you guys see this? The response from the church about the gotcha type advertising. You want to talk about it?
Is that this one?
That is that one.
This one's about the BYU.
Yeah.
Okay.
This one's a little shorter.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll compliment each other as far as this goes. Mormon leaders at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and BYU have responded to allegations that the school punishes victims of sexual assault with disciplinary violations. This is something we've talked a bit about here, but we haven't maybe taken it on as much as some other sources in the Bloggernacle. The church issued statements saying that the LDS is, quote, perfectly clear that they support reporting, investigation, and prosecution to the fullest extent of the law, and called the allegations gotcha journalism. Earlier this year, the Salt Lake Tribune reported that it had, quote, interviewed at least a dozen current and former students who say that they were investigated or disciplined for honor code violations in connection with sexual abuses against them. Of more than 50 people who have told the Tribune they were sexually assaulted while attending BYU, a majority said that they did not report the assaults, most of them citing fears that they would be held guilty of chastity violations, either for the assault or prior sexual contact. BYU is a strictly Christian school with a strict student code of conduct barring immodest dress, premarital sex, drug, and alcohol use. According to the New York Times, campus investigations into reported assaults often resulted in penalties up to and including suspension for infractions like drinking or for the victims, possible violations for federal anti-sex discrimination law Title IX. Occasionally, as this article continues, facts come to light that a victim has engaged in prior honor code violations, spokeswoman Carrie Jenkins told the paper. The code applies at all times. In a statement on the church's website, LDS leaders wrote, "Let us be perfectly clear. There is no tolerance for sexual assault at BYU or in the church. Assault of any kind is a serious criminal offense, and we support its reporting, investigation, and prosecution to the fullest extent of the law. Victims of assault or recipients of unwelcome sexual attention should be treated with sensitivity, compassion, and respect, and should feel that those to whom they disclose the assault are committed to helping them deal with the trauma when they are that they have experienced." In the accompanying blog post, LDS Representative Eric Hawkins called the damaging press allegations, quote, gotcha journalism. "The way the BYU has treated me has been so callous that it's been almost as bad as the rape itself," said former student Maddie Barney, who refused to cooperate in one such investigation, has been banned from class registration, told The Guardian. In the statement, the church added it would be seeking changes to how it handled conflict between meeting honor code and Title IX priorities.
Yeah.
So a couple of things that I hadn't considered before. One is, you know, in these cases where so if you're dating someone at BYU and you'd had sex before and it was consensual and it was fine. Mm-hmm. And so then for whatever reason, you're out with someone and then there is a rape assault. Or sexual assault, and then you go and you tell about it, probably one of the questions would be, well, have you been intimate before? And that quickly puts that person in a honor code violation, because where that particular incident, the being sexually assaulted, was not, you know, is not the time that they'll go for honor code violations, but the times previous where there was consensual sex, premarital consensual sex, those would be up for honor code violation.
Is that you speculating that would be one of the questions asked if they go in to report it? I mean, because what does that have any?
Maybe it wouldn't be a question.
I hope it wouldn't be.
Yeah, and I guess maybe that's what it is. You'd hope it wouldn't be, but.
But who the heck knows what's going on?
Yeah.
Well, and that it's interesting to me because that statement from the church is exactly in line with President Worthen's reaction to it, which I only saw like one place of all the reporting that happened. His like the video response I only saw like
I don't think I've even seen it.
Yeah. I mean, it was not widely reported, but it was exactly that.
Will you find that and share it on the Facebook wall?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll make myself a note. And yeah. And so what I've got is the exact same thing. It's actually what you referenced, the thing from Eric Hawkins. But I just like that he said one of the two writers, and this is, he specifically mentions the Trib, Salt Lake Tribune. One of the two writers acknowledged the lapse in judgment. And that's as far as... not contacting the church for comment.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two writers acknowledged the lapse in judgment and said she felt that the inclusion of a reference to the church's leadership handbook was sufficient. Note to Tribune editors, it wasn't. Boom! Eric Hawkins. Anyway.
Interesting, too, and you'll notice the change. Southern Virginia University, we've talked about that here in the Cultural Hall, has a different policy. And it's a church school, so it's interesting. And even right. BYU Idaho has a different policy in some ways, and BYU Hawaii, similarly, a different policy. Not that the honor code isn't the same, but the way that they deal with these things being reported, different. So I think that you'll see, and for good measure, these things being changed to be far more sensitive to those people who experience sexual assault.
Please bless.
What do you got, Brother Kyle?
I've got one that we'll have a second part to from Molly Jenny about clothing.
Yeah, do it. Let's do. You do the dude version. Kay. You do the chick version.
All right. Well, this one goes kind of either way. It has a clever headline. Here comes the sun.
Do 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 do
glasses and hats for Mormon missionaries. There are some new dressing options, and I didn't even consider this. Some new dressing options under the sun because of the sun, actually, for Mormon missionaries. Hats are now okay, as are sunglasses. Conservative ones, of course.
Yeah.
These now go with the standard LDS missionary attire of white shirts, ties, dress slacks for men, and professional style jackets, dresses and skirts for women. It says you may wear simple and conservative sunglasses to provide protection from the sun. The church's updated website tells prospective missionaries, however, unless your sunglasses serve a medical purpose, you should not wear them while speaking with others or while indoors.
Because it's rude. Yeah. That was the thing. I had some mission companions that were like, we can totally wear them, because we could. We could wear hats. I wore a fedora on my mission.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, now it gets into hats. In addition, wide-brim hats may also be worn while proselytizing. The instructions urge the elders to avoid bright colored hats or hats that are too casual that may distract from your message. Baseball, cowboy, bucket, newsboy, and fedora hats are not acceptable.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No, I could. We were allowed to.
Too trendy to...
Mine wasn't trendy. Mine was old school.
What other hats are? I think they just named every hat.
Name the hats again.
Baseball.
Okay.
Cowboy.
Okay.
Aw. Bucket.
What's a bucket hat?
I don't know what bucket
hat is. Let me look up what a bucket hat is. Hang on.
Newsboy.
What is a bucket hat? Okay,
fedora.
Newsboy. So that,
yeah,
I
like
get
a
that.
Yeah, like a newsies. Yeah.
Fedora. Is the newsboy, is that like a...
A bucket hat is like a fisherman hat.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The newsboy, like newsies.
Yeah, yes. Newsies.
Yeah.
Hey, pipes!
But isn't that like a, what's another name for, like the driving hat, or they wear in European countries?
Yeah.
Similar to that. What other hats are there? I'm trying to think of, really.
What they call,
Like a stocking cap?
That some people call a toboggan.
Like a beanie?
Yes, a beanie.
A beanie? Is beanie on there? Can we wear a beanie?
I don't know, but I know that you can wear them in the gym when it's 90 degrees in the middle of summer.
And I do
sure
it.
You can.
More hats. So BYU football or Utah basketball hats remain no-nos.
Whoa.
Wait, they don't want to be divisive.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
It's not that young proselytizers in sunny climates across the globe didn't don shades before. In the 1980s, practice was so common that sunglass-wearing elders sometimes were mistaken for CIA operatives or FBI agents. But now they have official permission. In recent years, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has allowed elders in hot regions to forgo wearing suit coats and sisters to forsake their pantyhose, which I don't think I knew that they have to wear pantyhose.
They did for a while. They don't anymore.
Ew. Gross.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Which leads us to the next thing.
Dress guidelines for missionaries of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have been revised for men and women serving in areas around the world impacted by mosquito-borne viral diseases, such as dengue fever, chikungunya, and Zika.
I love chikungunya. So delicious. Good.
I was at that Chinese restaurant the other day.
The new missionary health and safety guidelines were announced by the First Presidency and Quorum of the Twelve on Friday, May 20th, 2016. Major governmental agencies concerned with health care and disease prevention have recently issued alerts and precautions about the spread of mosquito-borne viral diseases throughout major areas of the world, said Elder Gregory A. Schweitzer, Assistant Executive Director in the Missionary Department and the Chairman of the Missionary Medical Health Services Division. In the 230 missions, or roughly half of the church's missions, where there is significant risk of mosquito-borne diseases, missionaries are strongly encouraged to wear clothing that covers exposed skin, especially arms and legs. Sister missionaries serving in the affected missions are encouraged to wear full-length dress slacks during proselyting activities. They will continue to wear skirts or dresses when attending the temple and during Sunday worship services, conferences, and baptismal services. In areas where it is not acceptable for women, including sister missionaries, to wear dress slacks, they are encouraged to wear long skirts to protect themselves from mosquito bites.
So it's changing. That's the thing.
Yes. Yeah. So it's pants instead of just, well, wear a longer skirt. Like, this is...
Well, and so much more practical. When you see the women wearing skirts, and I know a lot of people, because I saw some comments when I posted this story on Facebook, women being like, I never had a problem riding my bike with my skirt, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Because if you still want to wear a skirt, you'll still be able to wear a skirt, but give the option of pants for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And just let it be pants.
Yeah.
Just let it be pants.
And now that's really a big reason why I didn't go on a mission, because I couldn't wear a hat and sunglasses.
Yeah.
Because I'm very pale and I'm a high risk for skin cancer.
Yeah, it wasn't anything else that made it so you didn't go on a mission. It was,
so now,
that was that. Also,
doors wide open.
Yeah.
Also, you're supposed to ride your bike slowly.
Yeah, you would have. Yeah. You can't ride fast like you do, Brother Kyle.
I didn't ride a bike then. I had a driver's license.
Wide brimmed hats are what are allowed.
Oh,
wide brimmed.
It's still.
So, like, as I'm looking at it, as I'm looking for exceptions, because that's what I do.
Uh huh.
You can wear a bowler cap.
Okay.
You know what a bowler is?
Sure.
Yeah. Round. Yeah. A derby.
Derby.
Yeah.
You can wear a derby.
Mm-hmm. Top hat.
And there's even a see appropriate hats. There's a tab. You missed this. You missed it.
Oh.
Look, you can wear the dumb fur-lined...
Oh, my God.
...down over your ear cap.
Like Strange Brew.
Those are okay. Yeah, like, hey, take off, eh?
Good.
Look at these...
I thought you meant like the big Russian one.
Look at these handsome, wide-brimmed hats. Come here. Look over here. Come here.
Okay, while you're looking at that, I'm just going to add that the new guidelines apply only during the wet seasons when risk for mosquito-borne illnesses is high. Information is being sent to mission presidents and will be sent also to newly called missionaries, and the areas include parts of Africa, Asia, the Caribbean, Central America, Europe, Mexico, the Pacific, Philippines, and South America. In addition, the church has announced it will now pay for insecticide solution and DEET-containing insect repellent for all missionaries worldwide.
Cool.
So before, I guess you had to bring your own DEET, right?
Yep.
Full-time missionaries.
They send you the DEETs.
I was waiting for it. Saw that coming.
And it dropped. Okay. Full-time missionaries in mosquito-infested areas have been encouraged for many years to wear treated clothing and regularly apply DEET-containing repellents.
Did you let the DEET drop?
I did.
Let the DEET drop. No? Too soon?
So, yeah. The details of the revised missionary dress and grooming guidelines are, as you can imagine, found online.
So those are the DEET tales?
Yeah. A Panama hat. Speaking of going to our new story of earlier, a Panama hat is a wide-brimmed hat you could
Panama
wear.
Panama Jack?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What other stories do we got? Let me peruse through my stuff. What is that? You just waved
Powerful.
It to... Oh, yeah. You want to go there now?
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you.
Okay.
There is a show. This is cool. I've seen this. It's been in Chicago. It's played Indiana. It has not yet played the state of Utah, and I am going to try and bring it here. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Tell me what you're talking about.
Do you not know?
What?
The name of the show that I'm talking about.
That has been...
Played in Chicago, hasn't been in New York yet.
Oh, then no.
You're talking about Hamilton.
Well, Chicago was one of the first
tours to do it, but nope, that's not what I'm talking about. Okay. It's a show called... Ready? Are you ready for this?
Wait. Okay.
The Book of Merman.
What?
Did you write this?
Nope.
I don't believe you.
Generations Clash writes this review in The Book of Merman, a musical comedy mashup of the 2011 award-sweeping musical The Book of Mormon and
The Little Mermaid?
The Broadway darling of the 30s to the 1970s, Ethel Merman.
Oh! This is going to be great.
While it's purported that Ethel Merman died in 1984, in the Book of Merman, two Mormon missionaries ring her present-day doorbell and hilarity ensues. Merman, memorable for her brassy personality, but friends also described her as vulnerable and childlike. Even her later years, every event was exciting, including the mundane ones. Fans of Merman and of Mormon will appreciate the slips of music each other is notable that are incorporated into the show.
I'm watching it right now on YouTube.
Elder Shumway, that's one of the elders.
It's my bishop's name.
Sees Merman as a goddess, which opens the door for Moffat to belt out some Merman-esque tunes, and for Elder Braithwaite to do some soul-searching. She's Ethel Merman, a direct parody of I Believe is part of it, a lively rap that uses the I am the very model of a modern major general from Pirates of Penzance as its base.
My gosh.
The trio's interactions are a joy to watch. Glenn Busey's set of a residential neighborhood is a realistic backdrop that doesn't hog all the stage space, giving the actors room to sway and pout. Friday night's performance had a few off notes, but the show is a crowd pleaser with feels. No matter which generation you identify with, you're bound to be a convert by the end. The Book of Merman.
I can't believe you didn't write this.
Now we can talk about Bountiful.
Okay, have you guys ever been to Bountiful?
I went to the Bountiful Temple dedication. Did you go to the Bountiful Temple dedication?
I did, yeah, actually.
I knew we knew each other. I'd seen your smile somewhere before.
I didn't go to the Bountiful Temple dedication.
What do you got?
I did get married in there.
You got married at the Bountiful Temple?
I sure did.
Bountiful?
I thought you got married in Provo.
No.
Why Bountiful?
My ex's mission president was a sealer there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. this is something where you'll need to go to theculturehall.com to check this out.
The pictures.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. A lightning strike damaged the Angel Moroni statue atop the Bountiful Temple on Sunday afternoon. LDS Church spokesman Eric Hawkins confirmed that lightning struck the statue, but did not know the extent of the damage. Photos emailed from people in the area show part of the statue's head missing and a hole in the back. It's estimated that the lightning hit at 2:12 p.m. Sunday. And there is a photo of the lightning striking the temple.
It's pretty cool.
Fantastic.
Unbelievable.
You can find it at theculturalhall.com now.
Yes, and it's pretty great. All the Moronis, all the temples have lightning rods in them, right?
No, not all of them, but as they build them, they build them with lightning rods. But not all of the Moronis from like the past have it.
Oh.
It's interesting, too, because you think of the Angel Moroni being the only thing there. But if you look really closely, you can see a spire that actually goes beyond, and it's made of copper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wired and grounded through. Mm-hmm. Part of that is for how they can secure it, but part of it is so that it becomes a lightning rod.
Got it.
And absorbs that electricity. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
You know how much electricity it is?
No.
1.21 gigawatts.
Dang it!
Oh, my gosh. That makes me happy. I don't think we've mentioned this. The Utah-based LDS Church isn't coming out directly in support or against the Obama administration's directive that transgender students be allowed to use facilities that match their gender identity. Spokesman and hardest working man in the LDS Church, Eric Hawkins, said Tuesday that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is instead calling on public officials to create rules and laws that balance safety, privacy, and dignity for all. Hawkins says the Mormon leaders believe reasonable solutions can be reached when people of goodwill work to find answers. He says LDS leaders teach that gender is part of a person's eternal God-given identity and purpose. Because of that, Hawkins says, church leaders don't baptize people planning transgender operations. People who choose to have the operation may risk losing their membership in the religion. And a really great episode. If you haven't listened to the episode that we did with Sarah Jane Woodhouse, who is a transgender, really great episode. I don't know the number, and you can look it up if you like. The other thing that I need you to write down, did you make a note for what the other thing is that I needed you to do?
The President Worthen's video?
Yes.
Yeah.
I need you to also look up the video of, there's a drone video of the bountiful Moroni where the drone flies right up close and you can see it. We'll share that for people to check out.
Was there any coverage of the Mama Dragons?
Nope. Should be.
Can we talk about it? I went there. I went to it. But
Yeah, we can talk. No.
Okay, never mind.
Although the Mama Dragons a great organization,
and
especially if you have a gay or lesbian son or daughter. Yeah. Mama Dragons, you can check that out. Mm-hmm. This is pretty interesting, and I know that we mentioned it, or at least it's, I seem to remember it in the past. Katrina Miller. Does that name sound familiar to you guys? She was an Indianapolis woman whose dead body was found in a cornfield by a couple of missionaries. Her case will be the next case to be profiled on the TV show She Made Me Do It, which is a crime-based documentary show on the Oxygen Network. In the episode titled Amanda Gonzalez, you'll hear how a single mother involved in a love triangle was savagely killed and left in a cornfield by three perpetrators who valued their stash of drugs more than a human life. Anyway, Mormon missionaries are part of it. TV show's called She Made Me Do It, and you can hear the testimony of these guys who they were taking pictures of these cornfields and then happened upon this woman's body. So there's that. We did that one already. Speaking of TV shows, when Elder George Alexander ate dinner at the home of Haley Wind while serving as an LDS missionary in Mason, Arizona, he probably didn't realize that that would make him a reality TV star. Of course, he probably didn't realize a lot of things, writes this terribly written article about that fateful meal, including the fact that his future wife sat across the table, lock your heart, Elder. For George, it was just another day as a missionary. It was obvious that George was a dedicated, hardworking missionary with a strong testimony, said Haley's father, Robert Wind. So when the family took a vacation to Utah a few months later, they decided to invite the recently released George Alexander to another dinner. After that second fateful meal, George and Haley spent a lot of time talking and getting to know one another. They went to a single-parent day family camp. The rest, as they say, is history.
What?
No, I'm kidding. A few brief months later, George and Haley were engaged. Shortly after announcing their union to be on social media, they were contacted by a casting agency. The agency was seeking couples who were getting married at an age that many would consider to be too young. And George and Haley fit that bill perfectly. This TV show, which is Teenage Newlyweds, seems to be written for Mormon people. But maybe not. Maybe that's just my cynical way of looking at this. As the agency narrowed down their choices, they conducted extensive interviews, not only with George and Haley, but their entire families. They spent a lot of time as a family fasting and praying if this is something that they should be involved in. And they said, and the answer was, God said yes, get involved in reality TV shows.
That's right.
Cha-ching.
We felt a very strong, thank you, impression that this would be an opportunity for the world to be exposed of how members of the LDS Church live their day-to-day lives, which is true. I shouldn't be so cynical, but part of it probably was that they looked forward to a great opportunity to be on TV. The TV show called Teenage Newlyweds.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Huh.
I would just like to remind you that sometimes you have opportunities in jobs that you get where you can share the gospel.
Yeah. Chris Caraba loves the Mormon Church.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're right. I take it back.
Okay.
I'm a cynical, horrible person.
No. We're all cynical, horrible people.
Sometimes we take for granted the blessings and direction that we receive as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My hope is that couples, both young and old, will watch the show and be exposed to some helpful tools and advice to help make their own marriages and families stronger. They were recently married in Mesa, Arizona. They currently live in Riverton, Utah. Teenage Newlyweds will contain 8-hour-long episodes and premieres on May 31st. We got, what, two more stories. Are you leaving? You gotta leave right now?
I have to leave in a couple minutes.
Can you give me 3 minutes?
Yeah.
President Uchtdorf created the first stake of the LDS Church in the Czech Republic.
So cool.
In Prague. So awesome. Way to go, Prague. You've got your first steak. This? Everyone has a stake in protecting religious freedom because it contributes to better economic and business outcomes, said Elder Christofferson of the Quorum of the Twelve. Quote, where religious freedom is respected and protected, society overall is more stable, safer, and more prosperous, said Elder Christofferson, citing research data during a speech at the Utah Hispanic Chamber of Commerce's annual convention in Salt Lake City. He referred to a 2014 study of 173 countries by researchers at Georgetown and BYU who found religious freedom is one of only three factors significantly associated with global economic growth.
Really?
He said, first, the presence of religious freedom is associated with lower levels of corruption. Second, a growing body of research demonstrates that religious freedom fosters peace. And third, that there is a strong correlation between the presence of religious freedom and other freedoms that lead to positive outcomes from improved health care to higher incomes for women. And then finally, and I'll share a link to this at theculturalhall.com so you can check it out. There is a fascinating article from the Vice magazine, UK version, the United Kingdom version, talking about a woman by the name of Amanda James. She is a Mormon person who is part of the Lens Culture Portrait Awards. She took a series of photos about being a stay-at-home mom. Honest photos about being a stay-at-home mom. Because when she became a stay-at-home mom, she would take pictures and she'd be like, why do I look so miserable? Why do my kids look so creepy? really, that's...
Yeah.
She thought, because being raised, she thought, motherhood's going to be my jam.
Yep.
This is going to be my happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And did not find it to be so much.
Yeah.
And at least not at first. So she has a series of 6 years of pictures that are called Sweet Little Lies. And you can check it out. She talks about, there's some pretty powerful images. A couple of them are associated with the article that you can find at theculturalhall.com. But there's one where it's just a cutting board with carrots on it.
Mm-hmm.
With the caption, motherhood is very monotonous and repetitive. Every day feels the same with things like preparing meals, napping schedules, dishes, laundry, etc. And she talks all about, you know, why she took the pictures. And there's the self-portraits where she just is not having it. A lot of people find some pretty, a great deal of power and comfort in some of the things that she says.
Good.
So check that out at theculturalhall.com. You have to leave. You have to go. Get back to your parents' house, Brother Kyle, I know.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking forward to you changing over the water, and you got some chores you got to do or you don't get dinner. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope if you've been sick or afflicted, you're well, and you can listen next week.
We hope for everyone who wasn't able to make it this week, they'll be able to wake up every morning and stumble out of bed and get to the church on time.
In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.